and perhaps 2014 is the year of the streetcar. Washington, D.C. is about to open a new streetcar line. It's in the final testing stages. The mayor of Milwaukee is pushing for a streetcar line there. He says the line would be good for business and appeal to young people who are flocking to cities. And Tucson, Arizona opened its new streetcar system in July. Meanwhile, Arlington, Virginia just recently canceled two streetcar projects, officials questioning the benefits and wondering if it was just too expensive. We're going to hear two views on this issue, starting today with Shelley Ginn, the project manager in Tucson. Shelley, welcome.
Thank you.
Well, how are things going so far? Who's riding? How many people are riding? And is it working?
Things are going really well for us. We actually have higher ridership than we'd estimated. We have a lot more people writing that we hadn't anticipated, and we've had a really good response from our university students on taking advantage of the streetcar as well. So we're pretty pleased with how it started out.
And tell us about how far it goes and what kind of project you have there in Tucson.
So it's about a four-mile line, and it connects our University of Arizona Medical Center, university campus, to some shopping districts that also connect to a downtown and over to a western redevelopment area.
And why did you decide not to just do buses?
Well, we looked at buses as one of our options when we first started this project in 2004, but decided that streetcars actually provided the economic development potential that buses don't. And we'd seen this in other communities, so we were interested in pursuing that to not only provide that reduction in congestion and that increase in being able to move people along a line that you can't necessarily widen streets, but also to really push that economic development potential.
Well, explain that. Why does a streetcar provide economic development?
So typically where you have transit streetcar stops or light rail stops, those are areas where you'll have a lot more businesses, developers interested in developing along that line because they know it's an infrastructure that's a permanent infrastructure and it's not easily removed. So when you have rail on the line and you've got stops, you've got a lot of banks and businesses that want to take the chance on opening a business along something that they know is going to stay there permanently.
And there's probably also a benefit because it's cute. It looks charming. It reminds you of, a nice maybe San Francisco or some place that's got a storied, historic-looking streetcar that rolls through the city and everyone's happy.
There's a charm to the streetcar that you don't necessarily see on a bus. Now, we do have modern streetcars versus more historic vehicles that you'll see in other cities. But again, we've got that same joy that the rider gets when they hop on a streetcar, sees it going by. People wave all the time when a streetcar goes by, and people in the streetcar wave to the people out in the public.
There is criticism, though, and among the criticism is that it's really for tourists, that those are the people who end up using these things.
Well, we knew that was one of the concerns that folks were going to have when we started this. And so that's one of the reasons why we did go through the federal process of looking at what type of ridership would use this. And also, when you take advantage of your activity centers that you're trying to connect, you have that built-in ridership. So this isn't just for the tourists. This actually is moving students along the line. We're also moving people who work and live along the line. We actually have over 100,000 people who work or live along the streetcar line. So we knew we would be touching those folks.
What about the cost, though? There's reporting that your system cost nearly $200 million, and that would have paid for almost 4 years of bus service in the city.
Well, $200 million that we were able to take advantage of federal funding. So we actually have federal funding that's in place to help pay for this. We also have a local half-cent sales tax that helps pay for it. So when you're looking at actual money that's coming out of our general fund, there's very little that's applied towards the streetcar. But that said, the potential for the economic development, the tax returns, the value of the properties along the line have gone up amazingly. And when you do this kind of project, you also have the benefit of doing some major improvements along the line to your utilities. So we were able to upgrade our utilities in that whole four-mile section to be able to be prepared for that growth that we are starting to see in economic development. There's a lot of pluses to the streetcar that you don't necessarily get with the bus, and we're seeing that valued not only from our ridership perspective, but also from what we'll be able to bring in from a tax perspective.
What are the minuses as you see them?
Well, streetcars are permanent, so there's lots of pluses to permanence, but also it's something that you can't just easily move. So you've got to be very clear on when you select your system that it is a place that you want it to be for the next 30 to 50 years. So that's definitely something that people have to think about when they're thinking about streetcar.
And there are cities that have had streetcars for many years now, and we think of Portland, Oregon, for example. What did you look to and what lessons did you learn from other cities that already had experience with streetcars?
Well, we definitely looked at Portland, Oregon. They were probably our number one city that we used as an example for what we could possibly do. They have a very similar type system from their startup to what we were trying to do, again, connecting their university to their downtown into a redevelopment area that's now known as the Pearl District. We also looked at other cities such as San Francisco, New Orleans, Seattle as potential systems that we could take lessons learned from. And then, of course, we have in our own backyard a light rail in Phoenix, which we, again, were able to take advantage of lessons learned from that group and really apply them to what we were doing here in Tucson.
And what's going to be the measure of success? At what point will you be able to say, wow, this really did work. It created the economic development? Because it sounds from listening to you like that's the number one goal here is you bring in the streetcars and businesses want to be there along these routes. When would you say would be a good time to check back in and ask, did it work?
Well, first of all, when it comes to economic development, we already have already come to a point where we have achieved some of what we've been trying to do. We've had over $1 billion of private and public investment along the line. We're looking at potentially $1.5 billion if you're taking into account projects that have been announced but haven't been put in the ground yet. So from that perspective, as soon as we got that federal funding announced in 2010, we really saw a huge increase in the development that happened along the lines.
And people wanted to put their businesses there just when they knew the car was coming before it was even going.
Right. That was what was so beautiful about this. People were anticipating it. The University of Arizona started moving some of their colleges down to the downtown area. Over 200 businesses have opened since 2008 in the downtown, and we're just seeing an influx of businesses continue to look at the downtown as a potential start for their businesses. So when it comes to economic development, we're already seeing it. We're going to monitor this over the next several years and see how that growth continues. We also have a ridership. This is a system as well. It's a transit system. It's a green system. And that's something that a lot of people want to see when they're trying to take advantage of alternate modes of transportation. And our ridership estimates started off at 3,600 a day. We're really hovering around 4,800 a day on the weekdays. On our weekends, especially Saturdays, we're seeing our numbers just skyrocket. So we're very excited by seeing the ridership happening and the economic development and really just a revitalization of a downtown that 10 years ago was just deserted. So it's wonderful to see what this has been a part of and helped be an instrument in the development and bringing a downtown back to life.
Shelley Ginn, project manager for Tucson's Modern Streetcar Project. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And that is One View. Tomorrow we'll hear a very different take.
We need to make sure that our public transportation is reliable, frequent, comfortable, and fast. The fact is that streetcars that have been implemented all over the country simply do not achieve those things because they're stuck in traffic.
So what about where you live? Would you like to have a streetcar in your community? Let us know at facebook.com/hereandnowradio or at hereandnow.org.
In fact, listener Brendan McTerror is already writing in. Here's what he wrote. I live on a trolley line in Philadelphia. By and large, it's more convenient than using a bus. The one drawback is that a trolley cannot pass around something blocking the trolley tracks. So sometimes you'll end up stuck behind a broken down vehicle just watching the cars and trucks drive around while you have to wait.
Good point. Let us know your thoughts at hereandnow.org.